Something you probably do know. Progressive can not only offer you a great price when you bundle home and auto, they offer you round-the-clock protection. Something you probably don't know, the average garage door is made up of 1.3 millimeter aluminum panels. Something you probably do know, your neighbor likes to tinker with his dirt bike. Something you probably don't know, a runaway dirt bike can take out your garage door and a good portion of your car bumper. Bundle your home and auto with Progressive and get more than a great price. Get round-the-clock protection. Something you know for the things you don't know. Coverage from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and third-party insurers and subject to policy terms. Bundle discount not available in all states or situations.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on the second day of September. Wow, summer's flying by. It's flying by, I'm telling you. And there's a lot to do before the snow flies. But anyhow, tonight we have, as normal, that inspiring young radio personality, none other than Courageous Craig on the board.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Now, and then we have not so young. We have some very not so young others here. Well, right in the middle of that, we have, I would call Ron Ritz.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, and then way out yonder in Texas, down around the Houston area, we have none other than Big John McTernan.
Hello, Pastor Ernie. God bless you and all the listeners. And remember, this is Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, yeah. And for our special guest tonight that we have Pastor Raymond Hadley, and he's with the Liberty Pastors, and he's with the Liberty Church Orlando. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, good evening. Good to be on the broadcast. Thank you so much for this privilege.
Well, it's good to have you here because we've got a whole lot to do. We have America is bleeding. She's hurt. And the Republican Party is not the answer. There's only one answer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so with that, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to read this. Verses 12 through 22, and because it's really got an application of today, really got an application. Remember that fellow Solomon there? Solomon, you know what, he was a pretty smart guy. At least you would have thought he was a pretty smart guy. But for a very smart guy, he did some pretty dumb things, and it cost him. It cost him his kingdom. He lost almost all of his kingdom because he didn't listen to all of what God had told him. And here's what God had told him. Starting in verse 12. John, are you ready with your electronic Bible?
I'm always ready, Pastor Ernie, with my electronic Bible.
Second Chronicles 7, okay. Verses.
All right. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. I'll read more.
Yeah, read all the way through down to verse, read all the way through verse 18, and I'll pick it up with there.
Okay. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be in there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shall observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish thy throne of the kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel.
But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them. And this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all the nations. And the house which is high shall be astonished, every one that passes by it. So he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord of God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought it, all of this evil upon them. Well, here he says that if my people, which are called by my name, we're called Christians, aren't we?
Yes, Pastor. Yes.
Well, that means we're called by his name, aren't we? And he says, if we humble ourselves and admit to our sins, boy, I'm going to be reading here in a minute a little bit from, you may have remembered that fellow called Charles Finney, what he had to say, because what Charles Finney has to say, I've been preaching for 50 years, and we need to seek God's continually. We need to seek the Lord. America has forgotten her God. And what does the Bible say? For all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell, right? And we're seeing some terrible things in this country today. And so we're going to be looking at that. Then he goes on, he says, and then he's talking about, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, repentance, is repentance simply saying I'm sorry, or does that mean turn from their wicked ways?
Pastor, repentance is an act of the will.
And so that means turn around. Actually, that term was a military term. Repent means to about face. It means to go in the other direction, huh? It means to reverse your actions. And he says, now listen, he says, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so we keep wondering, we keep praying and asking God to turn these things around, the wickedness that we have today in our land. And what's happening? Well, that repentance isn't real enough. There's only a very small percentage of us. There's others that go through, they'll say, God, please heal the land, but then they don't really do anything. They don't really change. Then he says, mine eyes will be open and my ears attend to the prayer that is made in this place. And again, this is what we have coming up on 9/11. coming up on September 11th. We're asking all of the pastors nationwide, we're doing all that we can to get them to preach on that Sunday morning, to preach repentance, to preach fasting, prayer and fasting, and preach revival. This is what we're asking. We need to do it. We need to do it. Our country is going down fast. Do you think, did it work for the king of Nineveh and the people in Nineveh when they repented?
Yes, it did.
Bought them 100 years, huh?
Pastor Ernie, when they repented at Nineveh, they even, I guess you would call it symbolically, had the animals repenting also. When you read there with Jonah, I think the donkeys and everything, they had them in sackcloth and ashes also.
Yeah. Now, so that king, by his, even though he was a heathen king, by his action, he showed you he believed in the God of Israel, huh?
That's right.
And so here, and so he says if we do that, if God will do that, now, you know, you wonder what in the world happened to Solomon here. What happened to him? You know,
he had everything.
He had everything God had given him. He asked for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. But then he did some really stupid things with that wisdom. So did he really kind of forget his God?
Well, I think he brought too many other gods into Israel at the time. It was under the guise of it was a barter system, and he would increase his wealth. But we should only have one God, and that's where he went off track.
Well, when you had in the Garden of Eden, the devil looked for Adam's weakness, and that Adam's weakness was one beautiful woman, huh? Well, here with Solomon, it was 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay, that's. That'll get you. I'm going to tell you, that is not smart. All right, and he listened, and he allowed those women to do exactly what God demanded that he not allow them to do. Huh? Okay, so he says, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes, this is America. This is America. You know, this nation was founded one nation under God, one nation under God. Which I have set before you, and you shall go and serve other gods, you know, like money, like pleasure, all of these other gods, like drugs, all of these other gods, but especially control, what we see today, and worship them. I will pluck up by the roots and cast out of the land which I have given thee. Well, we've seen what's happening here in America. What is happening is it's a horrible, horrible thing that we're going through. Just for examples, we saw that clip that was played here with Joe Obama. First of all, he is not the president of this country. He's illegitimate. Donald Trump is still the legitimate president of this country. That's the reality. Okay, what you have in there is a usurper. He usurped. He's not the legitimate president. I mean, does truth mean something?
Yeah. Not anymore. Not here, though.
Okay, so we have a big sign out in front of the church, and that's on the sign, that Donald Trump is still the legitimate president, because we don't go along with a lie told long enough and loud enough becomes the truth. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on tomorrow. Truth and consequences by God, or Sunday, I should say. And so when we take a look at this, for example, did you two fellows watch that, Raymond and John, did you watch the on television, the Marines in the background with, and what did you see, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, there was someone, I don't know who it was, but titled it the Moloch, you know, the pagan god Moloch speech by Biden. And Moloch was the demon that the people would sacrifice their children to. And when you watched his speech,
it was eerie looking. It was this dark setting, and the Marines were behind Biden. There were two Marines, one on one side, one on the other, and back behind him. And then the wall, there was a brick wall there that had these red, like, floodlights on them that it looked like, you know, like fire. So it was just eerie looking, and he was dark, and it was foreboding, but they had the Marines there, Pastor Ernie. And he's talking about, he's condemning probably about half of America and calling us all sorts of names and fascists and all. And then behind him are the Marines with this eerie, demonic look. I think they were trying to send, he was trying to send a message.
That's exactly what he was trying to do. Exactly what he was trying to do. I'm going to stop here just for a minute because, Pastor Raymond, we want you to tell the folks about the Liberty Pastors.com, and then we're going to pick it up on here because we have a clip to play, but tell the folks about LibertyPastors.com and the Liberty Church there in Orlando.
Thank you, Pastor Ernie. I appreciate the privilege of being on the program tonight. I am the resident pastor of Liberty Church Orlando, and Pastor Paul Blair, who is also the senior pastor of Fairview Baptist Church there in just outside of Oklahoma City in Oklahoma. And we are part of the Liberty Pastors. There's after this conference, there's probably going to be about 1,200 Liberty Pastors that have been through the conferences or training camps that we call them. And they have heard about 20 hours of lectures and videos and whatever that the speakers have brought for them over 4 days. And this was a burden that God had given to Paul Blair in order to start it so that pastors would wake up. We have a problem in this country because pastors are afraid to speak out, or they just deny the fact that it's their obligation. And yet in a country that is exceptional, it has been proven because of God raising this country up according to the biblical standards. Civil government was created by God. It wasn't created by man. And so Liberty Pastors takes the biblical values and applies them to what's happening all around us. Matthew 5, we're told there about a city set on a hill. And through these conferences and through our individual fellowships with the pastors, we are trying to cause our people to see that we are salt and light, and that the light shines in the darkness. And so that's what these training camps are for. And I just want to encourage, because we just finished one this week, and Pastor Paul Blair has just completed it this week. There's two more this year, and I want to encourage pastors to go to a website in order to find out more about it. You can get more details than what I can tell you just now. It's libertypastors.com, and all of the information is there concerning the America at the Crossroads training camps. Now, you can't get a better deal than this for $99 from Sunday night through Wednesday noon. You and your wife will be able to go to this conference. It is paid for completely except for two meals. They encourage you to take your wife out for a date on two of the nights, but the rest of it, about 20 to 22 hours of training, that subjects that you won't hear anywhere else, about the critical race theory, cultural Marxism, the COVID-19 truth, the economics and China and Ukraine, and this false theory of the climate change, the Great Reset that many people have never even heard of, the global government that is forming in the background by the World Economic Forum, and so on. You'll get information that you've never heard before, and you'll never hear it over the major mainline news stations, that's for sure. They don't want you to hear it, but it's truth, and it's something that will enlighten you. I want to encourage you to do that. So I want to encourage you to go to the Liberty Pastors website, libertypastors.com, and look at the information there. And there are dozens and dozens of videos that you are welcome to use. They are not copyrighted. They are not sold. Pastor Blair and his co-pastor, Dan Fisher, has made them available. They say, we want these to be spread around. We want these to be broadcast around the country so pastors can share the information with their people. So that's kind of in a nutshell about Liberty Pastors. And if there's any questions concerning it, I'll be glad to answer the questions. I just wanted to hit on a preview of what it is like, if you've never heard of it.
Well, Pastor Hadley, that's exactly what we've been doing here for 50 years in this. You know, we were Black Robe Regiment 50 years ago. And
amen.
And so all of those things that you had just mentioned is what we talk about, but you're absolutely right. You won't hear any of that on what they call the mainstream media. And there's a good, they promote sin. These people and the mainstream media, they're professionals, but they're professional liars. And they actually are contracted. They're contracted. They agree. They sign a contract agreeing to stay with, and they use the word narrative. That's what they use for a lie. And they look you in the eye, and they tell you a lie, okay?
Yes.
And so, and you know what it says in Revelation 21, verse 8? All liars.
Our goal is to establish Liberty Churches all around America with pastors who are not afraid to stand and not afraid of the persecution that may come, not afraid of anyone out there, because our God is a God who has the power and the strength to sustain us. And so we don't need to be afraid. And so that's what I think is the message that will stir the hearts. And as people get excited, like they are here in Orlando, at the Liberty Church Orlando, we have workers there. It's not a mega church, but it's a church full of workers. We encourage godly Christians to get involved in, as a candidate, and especially school board, because that's our next generation. If we don't teach them the truth, and there's more involved in that I can tell you now, but it's on the website again of Liberty Church Pastors. So I just can't speak enough about it, but I know that you have other things for tonight, so I trust that you'll do that and go there and get involved, get registered, and take the time and spread the word.
Well, you know, Raymond, I was, for years and years and years, we had what you call Shake the Nation tours, and there were 10 of us. You've probably heard of several of those guys. Bill Federer was one. Scott Lively. Scott Lively was the number one man in the entire world on the LGBTQ hit list, the number one. Scott Lively was one of those. Pastor Joe Larson was one of those. We had Dr. Thomas, and we would go from city to city, and we would, five of us would be in one place in the morning, and five would be at a different place, and then that evening we'd switch, and we would go, we would have both the morning. And the whole idea was to try to exhort the pastors to stand up, the pastors to be bold. But the problem was, I mean, our message was there. The message was right from the Word of God. But they didn't sense the danger. They didn't feel the danger. They looked around, things are okay. And so, you know, they got all excited for a day or two. And for example, Jerry Wilkins, Pastor Wilkins was a man. He was with Martin Luther King when he started his march there. And in the very beginning, him and a fellow named Ralph Abernathy, they were together with. And Jerry told me that things were on the up and up and legitimate until the communists came in. And when the communists came in, they brought drugs and women. And that's where that ministry fell. Okay, but anyhow, what would happen is for a little while, they would get excited. I went and I preached to 80 black Baptist preachers. And boy, they were going, we're going to stop this killing. They're killing black babies. We're going to stop it. We're not going to tolerate it no more. This is black genocide. Boy, they were all. And that lasted for a couple of days. And then ignorance and apathy set in. Okay. So yeah. Now the atmosphere in the country with Joe Obama, with what is happening, what they're seeing happening out there, there's a sense, hey, wait a minute. Maybe we waited too long. We're going to go to a break and listen to this about that thing called marriage. That was the very first divine institution God gave us. And let's look at marriage today.
Next.
Good morning. We'd like to apply for a marriage license.
Names?
Tim and Jim Jones.
Jones? Are you related? I see a resemblance.
Yeah, we're brothers.
Brothers? You can't get married.
Well, why not? Aren't you giving marriage licenses to same-gender couples?
Yes, thousands. But we haven't had any siblings. That's incest.
Incest? No, we're not gay.
Not gay? Then why do you want to get married?
Well, for the financial benefits, of course. And we do love each other. And besides, we don't have any other prospects.
But we're issuing marriage licenses to gay and lesbian couples who've been denied equal protection under the law. If you are not gay, you can get married to a woman.
Wait a minute. A gay man has the same right to marry a woman as I have. But just because I'm straight doesn't mean I want to marry a woman. I want to marry Jim, and Jim wants to marry me. Are you going to discriminate against us just because we're not gay?
All right. I'll give you your license. Next.
Hi, we're here to get married.
Names?
Frank Smith, Jane James, Robert Green, and June Johnson.
And who wants to marry whom?
We all want to marry each other.
But there are four of you.
That's right. You see, we're all bisexual. I love Jane and Robert. Jane loves me and Frank. Frank loves Robert and me, and Robert loves Frank and Jane. All of us getting married together is the only way that we can express our sexual preferences in a marital relationship.
But we've only been granting license to gay and lesbian couples.
So, you're discriminating against bisexuals?
No, it's just that, well, the traditional idea of marriage is that it's just for couples.
Since when did you stand on tradition?
Well, I mean, you have to draw the line somewhere.
Who says? There's no logical reason to limit marriage to couples. The more the better. Besides, we demand our rights. The mayor says the Constitution guarantees equal protection under the law. Give us a marriage license.
All right. Next.
Howdy. I'd like a marriage license.
In what names?
David Dietz.
And the other person?
Oh, that's all. I want to just marry myself.
Marry yourself? What do you mean?
Well, my psychiatrist says I have a dual personality, so I want to marry the two together. Maybe I can file a joint income tax return.
That does it. I quit. You people are making a mockery of marriage.
Now, that is a parody, and if it wasn't so true, it would be funny.
Yep.
But it's not really a funny. It's a tragedy, isn't it? Because that's the level of insanity that this country has been reduced to.
It's anything to destroy the sanctity of marriage.
Yeah. And so,
could I share with you a video that was not a video, but a picture that was sent over Facebook, and it shows I think a priest. I don't know what denomination, but I call it backward collar. And he's there with another, looks like a man, but he says that he tells his people, his pastor congregation, I want to introduce you to my husband, and he, just to let you know that he's 3 months pregnant.
Now, can you believe this is supposed to be a priest introducing his husband who is pregnant? Now, how much more ridiculous can we get? And especially, that's what we're seeing in the pastorate. How ridiculous.
Well, you know, I would, if you're asking me, today I worked a fair. I went to the booth, and a lot of people came out, and I noticed I'd be out there. A lot of people came to see me out there at the booth. But right across from our booth, there was another booth. Another church had a booth, and they had a big sign up there that only, what was it, I think, half of the pastors don't believe in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I was saying, yeah. you think half? It's probably more like 90% don't believe the Bible today, okay? They don't. I would say, if you were to ask me how many in the pulpits today are actually saved, I would probably say about 10%, maybe. I would take a guess. And let me read to you, as I mentioned earlier, from that fellow named Charles Finney. Now, he opened a school here, not far from where I'm at now. But if he was to see it today, if Charles Finley was to go there today and see that school, he'd probably set it on fire, okay? And that's Oberlin College. But here, and he preached this message in 1873, and stated in the last, this is the last paragraph of his sermon titled "The Decay of Conscience." The decay of conscience. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, oh boy, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundation of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. He couldn't be more right. He couldn't be more right.
Right.
Because, and that's what you had. You fellas probably remember. I remember very clearly back in the, right, oh, it was about, I think 1967, when the German Enlightenment movement came here to America. If you remember that, that was the idea. It was picked up by your neo-evangelical churches here. And the point was that the teaching was, and they all jumped on it, just like they jumped on that purpose-driven church thing when Rick Warren came out with that lunacy. They just, you know, they, you would have thought they'd known better, but they didn't. Well, that Enlightenment movement was teaching that pastors had to learn to be in touch with their feminine self, and their be a part of their learn to control their feminine parts. And I thought, what in the world are they talking about? Okay, I didn't have any feminine parts, and I didn't have any feminine self. I was a male, and of course the pastors I talked to said that's lunacy, but it was picked up, and it was picked up mostly by, say, marriage counselors, and that on the different so-called Christian radio networks, and it was pure lunacy, and what happened? They feminized, and we ended up with a whole bunch of prissy preachers. And unfortunately, we still have those prissy preachers today. The idea is still the same. It went into all the seminaries that they picked up on that. You guys want to comment on that?
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and that's one reason why. And I just want to quickly mention that's why it is essential that pastors and Christians get involved with our school boards. Number one, we represent also Public School Exit by Dran Reese, and there's another website about that. Christians need to take their kids out of the public schools. and train them by either homeschool or a homeschool association or a Christian school. Number two, then churches still are able to start Bible classes and training in the schools where the students are left, because they need Bible training, especially those that are from families that don't go to church. They don't have any Bible training at home. And so consequently, the church, again, is responsible for teaching those kids in a Bible class. And you can do that. And next of all is for Christians, though it's difficult and maybe your religious convictions won't allow you to teach in a public school, but to refuse to teach those things that they're promoting and being able to take a stand and say, I'm teaching what the truth from God's word is. So there's various aspects because of the public school, because if we don't do something, we're just going to raise our next generation to be even worse than the generation we have now.
For 50 years, for 50 years, Raymond, I've been telling people on the radio, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system.
Amen.
Back in the 70s, there was a lady, Martha Lippitt, wonderful lady. She taught, she actually had the one-room schoolhouse. And she had the Bible on her desk and the Ten Commandments on the wall. And this little one-room schoolhouse, it was just like you see in the movies. And then the ACLU came after her. She called me. We started a campaign. We've stood up and fought back, and we started a homeschooling movement here in Ohio. And it took off. It really took off. It grew. And today, it's growing all across the country. The homeschooling movement is growing at a rapid rate. And that's great. In fact, last year there were 2 million more homeschoolers in America than the previous year. And that's a lot, you know.
Yes.
And so you're absolutely right.
We're training pastors. Open your churches to these homeschool groups to come into your church and use your facilities so that during the week when your Sunday school classrooms are empty, train the kids that are desiring to be trained from the Word of God. And that's the essential part. So that's, again, one of the purposes of the Liberty Pastors.
Absolutely. We've got to take it back, and we've got to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, right?
That's right.
And we have to run to this battle. We really have to. There's no more time to be, you know, to have ignorance and apathy. And that's what's been the problem. There's been too much ignorance and apathy out there. So we've got to really run to this battle. We're going to play a little clip because we're going to take a look at how, you know, the corruption that we're up against. We're seeing this Antichrist movement today. Artificial intelligence, you know, we're looking at these death shots, all of these things that people should have known better. And then you have these mega churches that actually set up and allow them to come in and give the death shots, okay, you know, right there. These are bioweapons. And I could not believe that these people would do that, and they lost their minds. But I don't think, you know, I just don't know how a pastor could be saved and then use his church to give kill shots. I just don't know it.
They've lost their minds and their souls.
I think that's it. Go ahead and play the clip.
America, blue America, but of all America. And I believe it's my duty to level with you, to tell the truth, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful. And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country. They look at the mob that stormed the United States Capitol on January 6th, brutally attacking law enforcement, not as insurrectionists who placed a dagger at the throat of our democracy, but they look at them as patriots, and they see their MAGA failure to stop a peaceful transfer of power after the 2020 election as preparation for the 2022 and 2024 elections. They tried everything last time to nullify the votes of 81 million people. This time, they're determined to succeed in thwarting the will of the people. That's why respected conservatives like Federal Circuit Court Judge Michael Ludwig has called Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans, quote, a clear and present danger to our democracy. But while the threat to American democracy is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy. There are far more Americans from every background and belief who reject the extreme MAGA ideology than those that accept it. And folks, it's within our power, it's in our hands, yours and mine, to stop the assault on American democracy. I believe America is at an inflection point, one of those moments that determine the shape of everything that's to come after. And now, America must choose to move forward or to move backwards, to build a future or obsess about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. But together, we can choose a different path. We can choose a better path forward to the future, a future of possibility, a future to build and dream and hope. And we're on that path moving ahead. I know this nation. I know you, the American people. I know your courage. I know your hearts. And I know our history. This is a nation that honors our Constitution. We do not reject it. This is a nation that believes in the rule of law. We do not repudiate it. This is a nation that respects free and fair elections. We honor the will of the people. We do not deny it. And this is a nation that rejects violence as a political tool. We do not encourage violence. We are still an America that believes in honesty and decency and respect for others. Patriotism, liberty, justice for all, hope, possibilities. We are still, at our core, a democracy. And yet, history tells us that blind loyalty to a single leader and a willingness to engage in political violence is fatal to democracy. For a long time, we've told ourselves that American democracy is guaranteed. But it's not. We have to defend it, protect it, stand up for it, each and every one of us. That's why tonight I'm asking our nation to come together, unite behind the single purpose of defending our democracy regardless of your ideology. We We're all called by duty and conscience to confront extremists who put their own pursuit of power above all else. Democrats, independents, mainstream Republicans. We must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving American democracy than MAGA Republicans are to destroying American democracy.
All right. I'm one of those MAGA Republicans that he was talking about out there.
Amen.
And the only thing that he said that was true is that America is at a time of decision. We're going to make it. That time is here. That's the only thing. Karl Marx made it very clear. Always accuse your opposition of doing what you're doing. Okay, always. This is exactly. Now, I will say this right now. Joe Biden is an antichrist. He is an antichrist. He's an extremely wicked man. And according to his own daughter, he's a pedophile. Joe Biden, some years ago, I was at the Russell Building. And it was an amazing thing because I looked down that long hallway and I was walking down. And I believe it was going to see George Voinovich's office. And as I walked down, it might have been Mike DeWine at that time. I'm trying to remember. It was one of the two. But as I walked down that hallway, and I got halfway down that hallway, a door opened, and guess who steps out right next to me? Joe Biden. We were the only two people in the whole hallway. He's right there. He puts his hand out and said, "I'm Senator Biden." And I said, "I'm Pastor Sanders." And he said, "What brings you here?" And I told him I came down here for the pro-life events that's taking place here. And he said, "Well, you know, not everybody's pro-life." I said, "God is." And God says abortion's murder. Well, with that, he started walking a little faster. And I said, "You know, when you think about it, you're either pro-life or low-life, aren't you?" And he's walking faster. Now, this Joe, remember how bold he is. He broke off in a flat-out run. He ran in a flat-out run. And he got down. I truly expected when he hit the elevator for him to stick his tongue out. He didn't, but I thought he would. And by the time I got down there, because he outran me, he was in good shape where it come to running. But here's the guy that's always talking about how bold he is. How bold do you think he would be without his Secret Service agents? You know, what do you think the outcome would have been when he talked about taking Donald Trump behind the gym? Yeah. Remember he said he wanted to take Donald Trump? I can tell you this. If he took Donald Trump behind the gym, only one of them would be walking out, and it wouldn't be Joe Obama, would it?
Nope.
And so everything this guy just said that you heard. Now, the Bible tells you in Proverbs 1 about simple-minded people who do not have the Spirit of God in them. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They're simple-minded. Many of them will believe what that man said. And everything that he was accusing the mega people on, being violent. How many mega people did you see burning and looting? 500 and over 500 cities riots were taking place since 2000, going back to about 2016. In these cities, over 500 people, number of over 40 people were killed. Did you see any mega people in any of those riots?
No.
No.
You saw burn, loot, and murder, formerly Black Lives Matter, didn't you? You saw Antifa, right?
Yeah.
You saw the LGBTQ, but you didn't see any mega people, any Republicans out there, did you?
Nope.
No. Okay.
And so, and here's the thing, too. You have to be a complete fool to think that election was not rigged. I mean, here's a guy, Donald Trump is coming out. He's drawing crowds of 50 and 60,000 people, okay? Joe Biden is drawing 10, 12 people sometimes when he was coming out.
That's
Okay. You had... there in Arizona, you had a mega train 92 miles long, or not a mega train, a Trump train, 92 miles long. Up here, Pastor Raymond, we had, believe it or not, in the Amish community, as we went through on a Trump train, the Amish were lined up in their buggies with holding up Trump signs. They understood. Yeah. And they never involved in politics, but they are now. And so that's the reality, again. And so
the sad, another sad thing is President Biden in that speech at least 30 times called this nation a democracy. It never has been. It never will be. And he doesn't even understand the terminology and what it actually means. This is a republic. It has always been called a republic, and it was never intended to be a democracy. But it's headed that way if people don't wake up and see what's happening.
Well, that democracy is mob rule. That's really what it is, what they call that form of government. And that's exactly what they want. And exactly what he wants to do. John McTurnan, do you see him trying to goad America into a civil war? Do you see right now Obama Biden pushing for a civil war so he can declare martial law? Why do you think they're arming 87,000 new IRS agents, okay?
Well, Pastor Ernie, I think that was a call to civil war. What he was trying to do is demonize us to get the population behind or half of the population or whatever would be left against us, much the same as the way the Nazis demonized the Jews. They demonized them for, a couple of years before, about 6 years, 7 years before the final solution. And the people at that point either agreed with them or didn't care. So that's what I see with this. This was trying to crystallize, there's the word, trying to crystallize America against us and the Army. I mean, he had the Marines there. Yes. So I think it's trying to get the military behind him also. I don't think it was successful, and he's changed his tune now because the polls show that the Americans as a whole were not buying it. Only the hardcore like Obama and Hillary and Biden were thrilled by it, but the rest of the country was not, Pastor Ernie.
Remember what Lenin said? Say one thing, say another. Go this way, go that way. Keep the people. Now, he got it directly from Marx. Keep the people unsure. Keep them off balance. Say one thing, then say another. Keep them afraid. They're easier to control that way. And you see that campaign going on here, you know, today. People, you know, you say, well, you know, people are scratching their heads. Have they lost their mind? Men can't have babies. If they could have a baby, why, they wouldn't be a man. What's wrong with these people? They're in Seattle and Portland putting Tampax machines in the boys' bathrooms, okay? Have they lost their minds? Boys don't have menstrual periods, okay? Have they lost their mind? You see what's happening when changing. Well, like, for example, they're changing. They want to change the word pedophile now because the entire Democratic Communist Collective, the party, the entire what was used to be, is filled. It's seeping with pedophilia, yeah. And so now they want to change the word pedophile to minor attraction.
Yeah, minor attracted people maps.
Yeah.
So it doesn't stigmatize them.
Yeah, and so, but you see again that is their strategy to keep people confused. Say, what in the world is wrong? Have they lost their mind? So people don't understand, but then they're easier to confuse. We're coming up to a hardcore break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Just getting going. Don't go away. Don't go away.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.